Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ginny Weasley, Part 2.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here.
We're the Weird Sisters, we're the real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the Vickers. Will the real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Weird Sisters. I'm Martha.
And I'm Alice.
And today we're here to talk about Ginny Weasley in the third and fourth books. A very plot-heavy character study this is going to be, because Ginny is really, really important in both of these books.
I just hope we can get through all this content, because she, like you said, she's pretty integral. We thought about actually splitting these two up just to really be able to go in depth for both of them. Maybe have like multiple parts per book, but
yeah.
Instead, we're going to speed through both the third and fourth books.
And I'm nervous about doing that. It was Alice's idea. She said, I think we can do it. I was like, I really don't think we can. There's a whole 18 mentions of her in book three. And it's over 40 mentions in Goblet of Fire. So I really hope we can make it through this.
To put that in context, 18 mentions, she's very, very crucial. Like, these are very, very crucial moments, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Each one of these 18 just is its
worth
own
its weight in gold.
Yeah, exactly. I really hope that we can keep this under 2 hours this week. And for a peek behind the curtain, some of that talk we just had was a little bit of sarcasm, but we really didn't want the fifth book in with the third and fourth books, just because that one does have a lot of Ginny content, even more than the 18 and 40 plus mentions in the third and fourth books. So this will be a little bit lighter character study as we look at what's Ginny doing in book three and book four. And then next week we will dive into her breakout book, the fifth book.
The first book where she ever won The Real Weirdo, which is starting to make sense when we look at these breakdowns.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. But before we jump into talking about Prisoner of Azkaban, I want to mention a couple listeners did IYKYK last week. And a couple DK, which is okay. I decided not to mix it up this week. As the host of this episode, I did not want to say we're here today, but I don't know, maybe that's going to be Alice's thing moving forward. We'll see.
Well, I think it's going to be, we leave it up to chance. We leave it up to see if the listeners are paying attention. Keep everyone on their toes.
Ooh, very tricky, Alice. I like it.
That's what I did last week, and it paid off in dividends.
It paid off in gold. It was worth its weight in gold, just like every moment that Ginny's in these two books.
And it gave us quite a laugh.
It definitely. It was sure to be a laugh. And this episode is sure to be a laugh as well. We've got quite a bit of mentions of Ginny laughing. I'm excited to see Ginny kind of having a happy couple of years after her traumatizing first year at Hogwarts.
Yeah, Ginny definitely got off. She had a pretty rough year in Harry's first book, just because she was all alone. Like, that was her first year having to be all alone. She wanted to go to Hogwarts so bad. And then she came to Hogwarts and had like the worst possible year. Right. So I think, Ginny is due her time to kind of relax and enjoy herself here, which I'm glad she's able to do.
she starts off, she's been on a great family vacation, so I think she's had some relaxation. However, she was kind of treated like the youngest sibling that she is, and we get this mention of Ron's letter that he writes to Harry, and he mentions that Mum wouldn't let Ginny go in the last tomb that they're touring. Only Ginny was not allowed to go in there, which I don't know whether that's because she's the youngest or because she just was in a place like the Chamber of Secrets and Mrs. Weasley doesn't want her to like have any flashbacks or something, but this is a little bit unfair. She's just 1 year younger than Ron.
This is definitely like a recurring thing that happens throughout the series, and
yeah,
it always did make me feel bad for Ginny because, like you said, she's only a year younger than Ron, and yet she gets treated like she's, you know, 6 years younger, like
right, like
you
me.
And I.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. even that wouldn't be fair.
Right. No, I'm just kidding. But she does get treated like she's just much younger than everybody. And sometimes I'm like, is it because she's the youngest? Is it also that she's a girl and that we're thinking that she's so little? Like it just – sometimes the fact that she's the only girl and the youngest, like I feel like that compounds in on itself.
I agree. I think that she gets kind of babied even though she doesn't want to be because of the fact that she's the only girl and the youngest. And then I think it's also fair. We could write some of this where we could give the Weasleys the benefit of the doubt a little bit in saying that because she had such a traumatic first year of Hogwarts, like maybe Mr. and Mrs. Weasley have become overprotective of her because of what happened to her last year, because it is a recurring theme, I agree. But especially this year, like I can definitely see why they would be going out of their way to make sure she doesn't do anything dangerous or scary.
Yeah, definitely. I do think that's a big part of it, and probably even throughout the books, because not only was it traumatic for Ginny, but obviously for Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, that was very traumatic to think that their daughter had died and, to worry that they're not protecting her. So I think that this is them overcompensating for that a little bit. And just, you know, maybe they feel like she's more vulnerable to things, like, because she was, like, she did kind of, you know, she did fall victim to the diary. And so maybe they're worried that she's, like, you know, going to fall victim to something else.
Yeah, I think, I do think that the second book does play a pretty big role in the way everybody treats Ginny. I don't think Ginny... Honestly, like, Ginny, you'd think, would be extremely affected by what that year was like for her. She probably is, but, like, it seems like she might be the least affected, at least in her actions, compared to the rest of her family and how they treat her. Like, I mean, I don't think that there's any – it's ever, like, really named that we're looking out for her this much because of what happened to her last year. But I do think that it does play a role.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, so we have the family photo with the pet rat Scabbers on Ron's shoulder, and then he has his arm around his little sister. That's our first mention of Ginny. And I guess maybe also the fact that Ron is tall for his age, so Ginny looks especially young compared to him. Maybe that's part of why it always seems like there's this big age difference between the two of them. I don't know.
Yeah, and I just think, like, again, the fact that she's the only girl, like, she just gets kind of put in her own category frequently.
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we jump ahead to when we actually first see Ginny. And it's that she seemed even more heartily embarrassed than usual when she saw Harry. She goes very red and muttered hello without looking at him.
Honestly, like, I couldn't quite remember exactly when Ginny started acting normal around Harry. And so it's... I always sort of forget that it goes on this long and that she continues with this bashful way through, you know, midway through the fourth book as well. So it goes on quite a while. But yeah, she's not even like they had a good interaction at the end of last book. Obviously, Harry saved her life and they were able to talk and stuff. But now she's right back to kind of just being too tongue-tied around him to even say a word.
Yeah, and I mean, it is fair to say that they haven't really spent that much time together, so I think that, like, the reason why in Goblet of Fire she starts to feel a little bit more comfortable around him is after spending the whole, like, week of the World Cup together, and I feel like they become a lot, like, more comfortable around each other because they've spent more time together, and then by the time we reach the fifth book, like, they've just kind of become more used to each other, or she's become more used to him.
Well,
at this point, really, she hasn't spent much time with him at all.
That's true. And then not that I think that you're forgetting this, but I just want to make clear, like, also the important part is when Hermione gives her that advice to.
Well, right, right.
Yeah. So I just want people to know that we're not saying that the only reason is because she's spent time with him.
Right. No, what I meant is more that the fact that she's not going red in front of him, like, I think that doesn't start to change until they've spent more time together.
Right.
Not that she's more, you know. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, so we see Ginny a little bit more of her personality than we'd seen before, because we see her giggling at Fred and George, who are like, or George is like, what do we want to be prefects for? To take all the fun out of life. And then Mrs. Weasley is really disappointed in Fred and George because they're not setting a good example for their sister.
Well, Percy's there, don't worry. Ginny's got other brothers to set her an example, Mother.
Lucky her.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, again, we're going to see, like, each of the brothers has a very different relationship with Ginny. I guess Fred and George have probably this very similar relationships. But, like, with Percy and Ginny, and then Fred and George and Ginny, Ron and Ginny, and then later when we get to see, like, Bill and Ginny, like, they each just have a very different way of interacting with her.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I do think Fred and George probably have the closest relationship with her, it seems like, most of the time, at least in these earlier books. Like, or at least she, compared to Percy and Ron, like, she seems to get along with them the best. Like, they seem to really look out for her and, like, want to make her laugh and stuff. And Ron kind of keeps his distance from Ginny, and then Percy is just very, like, superior acting to her. So I feel like in these earlier books, especially, Ginny kind of seems like she's closest with Fred and George.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. It's interesting because, like, I agree. I think they're probably closest, but at times, like, Fred and George take it too far with, like, the teasing of her.
Right.
So, but that might be like that's kind of their way of showing affection.
Well, and they also tease her in a different way than they tease Ron. Like, it seems a lot less mean-spirited the way that they tease Ginny.
Yeah. That's true. So I don't know. Just something to watch is kind of thinking about each of their relationships. I think Percy is definitely, like, I don't know. He's just so formal, and he kind of acts like he's, like, her father or something.
Right. He's only 5 years older than her.
Yeah, he's not much older than her. So it's – I mean, yes, that's a somewhat of a good, like, age difference where you would want to be setting a good example for her. But, like, just the way that he acts –
Yeah, it's not like 6 years, which is what it is for us. Like,
right. I mean, that's always huge.
You always treated me like you were my mother, right?
I treated you with the utmost respect.
Right. Anyway, so speaking of setting a good example for Ginny, we have a kind of out of character scene for Mrs. Weasley in a minute here, because Harry's overhearing Mrs. Weasley telling Hermione and Ginny about a love potion she'd made as a young girl. All three of them were rather giggly. Well, that sounds like a laugh.
That sounds like a right laugh. I can't even speak.
A right laugh.
No, but this is kind of one of those moments where it's like, I can kind of picture it. So in some ways, I find it to be somewhat realistic. But then on the other side, I'm like, this is not really helping with the Bechdel test of Harry Potter.
True. But also, I really feel like this is... At this point in the series, the author did not have a clear vision of what love potions were. And I think
love,
like,
potions were always kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like at this point of the series, they're seen as, like, this scene is supposed to be, like, this goofy, like, I don't know. Like, it's when we see Amortentia later in the sixth book, like, it's a lot scarier and, like, more messed up than what this seems like. So I feel like there's a lot of mixed messages about what love potions are and how we're supposed to see them.
Well, and I do think that there might be varieties of love potions. I mean, like, those,
yeah,
some of the ones we see from Fred and George, like, that they sell at their shop and stuff, are a little bit more just like a laugh, I guess. But
oh yeah,
like
a laugh.
But yeah, like Amortentia, and I mean, obviously there's lots of issues with love potions, so I'm not trying to excuse, like, them, but I just think, like, there must be, I don't know, I agree, it's probably just not thought through, but I was gonna say, like, it seems like that there's just kind of more of a lighthearted way of looking at them, like, at maybe at certain love potions or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I mostly think that at this point in the series, this is just like, the author is just kind of like making goofy things up. But yeah, agreed. Also, not really a great case for feminism in Harry Potter.
Well, right, because of course, like, here's a scene where the three female characters have split off from the rest of the crew, and what can they talk about? Nothing but love.
Right. Well, I guess we don't know if it's a love potion for a man.
Yeah, I think we can assume that it is based on the context.
Okay. Okay, well, we do have kind of a fun moment here coming up next, which is where Ginny and Harry catch each other's eyes and start, like, laughing. And I do like this moment. They're making fun of Percy together because Percy sees Penelope from across the train platform, and he's like, "Ah, there's Penelope." And it says Ginny caught Harry's eye, and they both turned away to hide their laughter, their laughter. But I've always liked that moment because I feel like it's one of the first times that they kind of share some amusement together.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think that we kind of saw the hint of this at the end of the second book, where Ginny was telling everybody in the compartment, like, what was going on with Percy and Penelope. And now it's just Ginny and Harry. And so they get to kind of share, like you said, some amusement together. And yeah, this is one of their first moments that they're able to kind of bond on a individual level.
Right. Especially it's just the two of them that are sharing that moment. Okay, so then our next, like, and our really our only, like, scene with Ginny, because these were all just little moments, which, of course, all very important moments. But this next scene is going to be probably our most important scene for Ginny in this book, which is the fact that she's present. She's in the compartment for the Dementor scene. Interestingly, she wasn't in their compartment to start, which gave them finally a chance to talk about stuff that, like, that Harry was talking about, what he'd overheard Mr. and Mrs. Weasley talking about and stuff. But Ron had told Ginny, like, go find somewhere else to sit, like, at the beginning of getting on the train.
It wasn't very nice of him.
She was like, oh, that's nice. But then she ends up in their compartment because I think she had been, like, walking. I'm not really sure why she ends up in their compartment, but I'm guessing that's that she and Neville were, like, out in the aisle, like, walking to the snack. Well, there's no snack car, but... Well, they end up in their compartment.
I think that they got up to see what was going on when the train, when everything went dark. So
that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ginny and Neville end up in their compartment with the trio and Professor R.J. Lupin. And so we don't really see too much from Ginny because this is all from Harry's POV, like, while the Dementor comes in. But we do hear about after the Dementor leaves that, first of all, we see Ginny. She says she's looking nearly as bad as Harry, or as Harry felt, and she's sobbing. And then Ron mentions that Ginny was shaking like mad while the Dementor was in there. So I think we talked about this in the book club. Definitely seems like out of all the other people in that compartment, Ginny's the one who's experienced the, like, most, like, scary time in her life that she's witnessed. So that's probably what she was reliving during the Dementor, or while the Dementor was in the compartment.
Yeah, I think this definitely, this definitely shows us that Ginny, even if she's doing okay outwardly, she definitely has quite a bit of trauma that she's kind of, you know, still carrying with her. And so, like, I think that that's definitely what was going on. Like, she is reliving everything from last year, and you can see how that would be extremely upsetting.
Right. And I think, I mean, not to say that the rest of them haven't experienced any kind of thing, anything traumatic, because obviously Neville, with his parents, that's something that's extremely traumatic in his life, but not necessarily something that he's witnessed the way that Ginny and Harry have.
Right. Like, I don't think he was there when they were being tortured or anything. Like, he has, you know, suffered losing them to Voldemort, but not where he was present. So he's not going to have that same memory of, like, fear.
Right. Yeah, so we don't really see anything else from Ginny for a while. The next scene that we're going to have is I misspoke earlier. This is the most important Ginny scene. In the chapter The Flight of the Fat Lady, Ginny's the one who asks, "What's going on?"
And Bem
I just got chills reading that line. That's a very important moment in this book.
That is so important, and I'm sure Bem was there to answer all her questions.
It's like smoke, trying to catch smoke with your bare hands. so that's Ginny's most defining moment of the third book. She asks, "What's going on?"
It is, you know, she was there. She is part of, you know, this group of students that are scared to think that Sirius may have broken in. So, yeah, yeah, pretty big moment.
She said, hey, what's going on?
Pretty big moment for Jin.
Yeah, it is a great moment for Jin. And I'm wondering for a homework assignment if anybody got the joke I was trying to make a second ago, because I don't think Alice did.
I guess I didn't hear you.
Ginny just said, hey, what's going on?
I mean, I've heard that song. Is that a joke?
I'm just saying it sounds like that song might have taken inspiration from the scene.
Okay. Yeah, sorry I didn't pick up on the fact that that was some very witty humor from you.
Okay. Okay, so Harry ends up in the hospital wing shortly after this, having fallen thousands of feet or whatever in the air, after the Dementors attack at the Quidditch game. And Ginny does show up to give Harry a get-well card. She's blushing furiously. And she made this card herself, and it sings shrilly. Sorry, that's a really hard word to say for some reason. It sings shrilly.
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 It sings shrilly.
It sings shrilly.
That's a weird word to say. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. That's the song it's singing, I guess. That's Ginny's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless Harry keeps it shut under his bowl of fruit, which also kind of cracks me up that he has a bowl of fruit.
I mean, yeah, it's probably some grapes. People bring
I was
going to
say, Colin Creevy probably brought him some grapes. Okay, and then our last moment with Ginny in this book, believe it or not, we've already reached the end of her moments in this book, is she's there when Ron is like bemoaning the loss of Scabbers, and Fred is like kind of trying to comfort him, and he's like, it was probably better for Scabbers to snuff it quickly. One swallow, he probably didn't feel a thing. And then Ginny is, Fred!
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is not the most important line in this book for Ginny. I think that definitely was when she said what's going on, but This is a fairly character defining, or like it's consistent with the character that we're going to see later. Like, I think Ginny always, like we talked about last character study, she's always willing to kind of stand up for people and kind of to do the right thing. And I think, yeah, even though she is also good for a laugh, like she doesn't like that they're making fun of Scabbers in this particular situation.
Yeah, and I also think that she is an animal lover, even though that Mrs. Norris thing wasn't necessarily because she was a cat lover. I do think that
you haven't really gotten to know her
yet. Right. But I do think that it's also consistent with her character here, is that she's not just defending Ron here. I think she feels kind of sad for the poor little rat.
Yeah, maybe. It is Scabbers, so I kind of tend to side a little bit with Fred and George.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that Ginny is taking Scabbers' side a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, well, I thought I was on something.
How come Ginny
not.
Didn't get to have any kind of pet this, you know, when she came to Hogwarts? I know she later on gets Pigwidgeon and Arnold, but like...
Not Pigwidgeon.
Well, yeah, I guess that's Ron's owl, but I guess she gets to get Arnold later on, but she doesn't, like, they don't even make an effort to get her a pet before that.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about the fact that Ginny doesn't get a pet at her first year at Hogwarts. I guess Fred and George didn't either.
Yeah.
And Percy didn't. Well, Percy got Hermes once he became a prefect.
And Ron only got Scabbers because Percy was done with him.
Right. So I don't think every Weasley sibling, there's not like a precedent for everybody to have a
That's
pet.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So believe it or not, that's actually the end of Ginny's arc in the third book.
Wow.
Do you think we have time? Do we have time to continue with talking about the fourth book, or is this kind of where we should wrap it up today?
Well, I want to be able to properly eulogize her, so I don't want to rush it, so maybe we'd better just be done.
Okay, so let's rate her. just kidding. No, we will return to talk about Ginny's arc in Goblet of Fire. However, we're going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. Talking about Ginny in The Goblet of Fire. And she does have a little bit more of a role in this book because, like I mentioned earlier, we get to see the Weasleys and Harry spend quite a bit of time together before they go to Hogwarts. A whole, like, 12 chapters before they go to Hogwarts. That will be good because it gives them the chance to get to know each other a little bit more, and we get to see Ginny's personality comes out a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, when they're all just hanging out and it's casual and it's not like this, I don't know, formal setting of school, I think Ginny acts more like herself, at least in these first few books.
Right. So our first meeting with Ginny is going to be the same old Ginny that we're used to, where Harry grins at Ginny, and that makes Ginny go scarlet. But actually, Ginny smiled at Harry first, so that's at least like showing that she's coming out of her shell a little bit. But she does still go scarlet.
Well, I have to say, like, I mean, as somebody who also blushes fairly easily,
yeah, I was about to say the same.
I can really feel bad for Ginny. Like, this is kind of a curse, and having her red hair, like, I'm sure she really does go scarlet.
No, both Alice and I blush very easily, and it's not necessarily because we're embarrassed. Like, literally just, like, somebody talking to me, I'm going to get flushed talking back, like, just speaking with them. Like, I don't know what it is. And, if, you know, if there's any kind of, like, implication of, like, oh, they like you or something, like, I'm definitely going to go even redder, like, not necessarily. Like, I think Ginny could just be blushing here because she knows how she used to be around Harry.
Well, and I just, yeah, I don't know. I also tend to blush in, like, high-pressure situations.
Right.
Like, if I'm, like, in an interview or something, I usually get super red.
Even just, like, meeting somebody you haven't, like, seeing somebody you haven't seen in a long time, or just, like,
every time you see me.
Yeah, I always blush when I see you. No, but I mean, I just think there's a lot of reasons Ginny could be blushing here that aren't necessarily she's obsessed with Harry.
Well, yeah, but I think we are supposed to believe that it's because she's
The number one reason that she blushes here is because this is our first time we're seeing Ginny in this book, and the author has to remind us that Ginny had been quite taken with Harry ever since his first visit to the Burrow.
Exactly. Actually, I think she was quite taken with him ever since she saw him on the platform, or realized it was Harry Potter on the platform.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't think it's just ever since his first visit to the Burrow, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we know how these lines go from time to time.
Yes. But yeah, so even just right away, like, we see Ginny talking a lot more than she has before. She's contributing to the storytelling that Ron and Hermione are telling Harry about Weasley's Wizard Wheezes. Ginny's just kind of adding to the conversation about what's happened. So just seeing her talking a little bit more in front of Harry. And then a little bit later, we see Pigwidgeon, and Ron calls him Pig.
Or as I would call Pig, Ginny's owl.
Right, Gin's owl.
I don't know why for a minute I thought that was Ginny's owl.
Well,
I think it's mainly because she
named him.
Well, she interacts with him quite a bit, too.
Well, she cares about him more than Ron does. Like, she's kinder to him and thinks he's sweeter than she is. But yeah, Ginny says Ron's being stupid by calling him Pig because his proper name is Pigwidgeon. And then, yeah, Ron explains that Ginny named him because she reckons it's sweet.
It is. It's a cute... I mean, I guess I don't know the whole etymology of where Pigwidgeon came from, but... And maybe I should have looked that up, but I...
Well, it's not a Pigwidgeon character study.
It isn't a Pigwidgeon character study, so we're going to save that for when we talk about him in depth.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think, like... I don't know. I always like having, you know, real names for animals. And I know that kind of sounds like a little bit of a made up one, but it sounds historical. And so, like, it sounds like Greek or something.
Yeah. I don't know where it came from exactly, but I like it. I think it's funny. And I like that Ginny named him that, and that Ron tried to change it, but it was too late and he won't answer to anything else. It's probably kind of Pig's choice.
Shut up, Pig. Okay, yeah. Ron. I like how Ron has to play it so cool that he has.
Ron really plays it very cool about having an owl.
Yeah, it's like he has to act like he hates him. Like, that's not necessary.
He always do up to that. Ron's very too cool for school for cool in this book.
He is. He's way too school for cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of too school for cool, really soon after this, we're going to have a really funny scene. Oh my gosh, this is a loft. Bill and Charlie are here, and they both have their wands out, and they're making two battered old tables fly high above the lawn, smashing into each other. I can't even say it.
Oh, what a loft.
Oh, they're smashing into each other, each attempting to knock the others out of the air.
Yeah, and Ginny sure finds that funny.
That is a laugh. Fred and George are cheering, and Ginny was laughing. Laughing.
Laughing. I don't know. This scene, we've talked about it at length before, but I'm glad Ginny finds it amusing. She does seem like she's a pretty gracious audience, which is a good quality to have.
Well, Fred and George are very amused by that. They're like, cheering about it.
I think that they also... It, depending on who the person is, like, they can also be a pretty gracious audience if it's somebody they find cool.
I think this is much more a matter of fact, matter of Fred, George, and Ginny all really liking Bill and Charlie. I think this is a testament to Bill and Charlie's characters. They're just so admirable of brothers that Fred, George, and Ginny, they'll just, anything that three of them do, or that the two of them do, they will be, they will have a rapt audience in Fred, George, and Ginny.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it's natural for the younger siblings to look up to the older ones.
Mm. In some situations, yes. Yeah.
You've never been a good audience for me.
No, never. Speaking of Ginny being very, a good audience for Bill, Ginny then, the next scene, she's defending Bill. Saying that she likes Bill's long hair, and she calls Mrs. Weasley so old-fashioned.
Anyway,
it's nowhere near as long as Professor Dumbledore's.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that was quite the argument that Ginny was trying to make. Like, is he trying to look like Dumbledore?
Right.
I guess it's kind of one thing where it's like saying you're having double standards. Like, why is it okay for Dumbledore to have long hair, but not Bill?
Right, I think that's kind of her point, but it's just funny because it's like, I'm not really sure that they're going for the same look.
Exactly.
Yeah, so then we don't really see too much from Ginny until the morning of going to the World Cup, and Ginny's very drowsy, pale and drowsy, and she's rubbing her eyes. And she's like, why do we have to be up so early?
Do people get paler in the morning? I mean, this is coming from somebody who's a blusher. I guess I don't know that I typically go pale just because it's early in the morning.
I would say I'm usually pretty pale in the morning until I eat breakfast.
Must have food.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. I know this is unrelated, but if I become a person who isn't starving when I wake up, like, something drastic has changed because...
Something has gone seriously wrong with you.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know when I'm sick, I am really sick if I don't want to eat when I wake up in the morning, because I'm normally, like, I could eat a horse in the morning. I'm so hungry when I wake up.
Please don't eat a horse.
Well, I wouldn't, but a horse's weight in vegetables.
Sounds awful. First thing in the morning.
I would eat a horse's weight of broccoli.
Yeah. So have we even talked about how much you're obsessed with broccoli on this show before?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll have to ask our mom to chime in about that sometime.
Well, broccoli is delicious.
My favorite things to do is to, like, mention how much you love broccoli to our mom, because then she'll be like, yeah, she loves broccoli. It's very weird.
That's not weird. She should be glad I like broccoli. They'll say
she could practically inhale an entire sheep pan herself. And mom's like, and then she wonders why her stomach hurts.
Well, just because there was one time that I'm not going to go into detail, but.
Please don't. Mom,
she acts as though it's not a good thing to love broccoli.
Well, you could eat it in a bit more moderation.
Why, though? It's really good for you.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, it is.
It's an entire head of broccoli in one sitting.
I do that most days.
Most days?
Most days when I eat broccoli, it's an entire head. It's good. I'm sorry. Sue me that I love broccoli.
I'm proud of
you.
My
mom is rude about that because she doesn't like broccoli.
Well, she likes it, but she doesn't love it.
She doesn't really like it that much. She's only recently started actually liking it when our dad started roasting it instead of steaming it.
Yeah, which, by the way, is the only way to do broccoli, if you ask me.
I'll do it anyway. I don't
but
like
roasted
it raw,
is way better than steamed.
Roasted is really good. Yes, it's the best way, but I like it. Sometimes steamed broccoli just hits different.
It does hit different, and not in a good way.
Well, as long as it's not raw. I don't like raw broccoli.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Okay, anyway, Ginny, then we get to the World Cup, and she's kind of judgmental of Bagman because the security wizard mentions to Mr. Weasley that Ludo Bagman's been trotting around talking about bludgers and quaffles at the top of his voice, not a worry about anti-muggle security. And Ginny's like, I thought Mr. Bagman was head of magical games and sports. He should know better than to talk about bludgers near muggles, shouldn't he?
Yeah, Ginny's kind of channeling her inner Hermione here.
I know, I was going to say, I'm surprised that line was given to Ginny and not Hermione.
Yeah, it probably, like, was maybe going to go to Hermione, but then it didn't make sense that Hermione would know who Mr. Bagman was yet. So
Hermione knows everything.
Yeah, that's true. Haven't you ever read The Ministry of Magic, A History?
Right. Okay. So then we really see, like, nothing from Ginny until after the World Cup. I mean, we see that she's in the stands at the World Cup and she's cheering.
Woo!
Yeah.
And we can imagine. Let's just read between the lines a little bit here. We can imagine that she had a blast.
She definitely had a blast. glad that she was included in getting to go to this.
I'm glad they weren't like,
stayed home.
Ginny has to stay home with Mrs. Weasley.
Right, she's got to clean the, she's got to take care of the wash in the kitchen.
Yeah, that would be typical. But, I mean, she loves Quidditch, so I'm sure she had a blast.
Yeah, well, at this point, it's interesting because we don't know how much she loves Quidditch and how interested she is in playing Quidditch. But it'll be kind of interesting when we get to the fifth book, seeing her start her Quidditch career, having seen her be having a fun time at the Quidditch World Cup.
Yes. We don't know. This could be where she, you know, really got her interest in becoming a Quidditch player.
Could be, yeah.
Lots to speculate on here.
Much to speculate on. Much to think about, exactly. So Ginny's in the top box with everybody. She's
having not a blast.
The Vila have no impact on her, so that's something to note, I guess. Wasn't that funny? What?
Just that's something to note.
Well, I guess if they did, we would know what she was by.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, we've got some confirmation that Ginny seems to only be into men, which is interesting.
Yeah, so I guess we've got that confirmation. Unless it's just not mentioned that Ginny is impacted by the Vila.
Ginny's throwing herself from the stands. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, jumping from the box into the stadium seemed a good idea.
Okay, Harry. We get that Harry was pretty into the Vila. That's such a weird scene.
And we don't know what Ginny's doing, actually, to be fair. Like, this is all from Harry's POV. He's so focused on the Vila, he doesn't see anything that Ginny's doing.
Well, that's true. She didn't make a... Let's say that it's safe to assume she didn't make a fool of herself the way Harry did. Right. I will say, too, that... I know this isn't a Vila character study, and I'm thankful for that. Because Vila are, like, one of my least favorite creations in the wizarding world.
Agreed.
They're weird.
They're very strange. It's very, there's a lot of questionable aspects of what Vila are and how they're used in this mascot setting.
And then just
how Fleur's grandmother was a Vila.
And how they're just like something like subjects worth lusting over, but then
right,
yeah, I don't get it, but then again,
get it either.
I wouldn't
the
expect
had...
to.
Well, no, I'm not impacted by them. Let's put it that way. Okay, so yeah, is there not a? I guess we don't have any Mila for the women.
What?
I don't know. I was trying to think of what
a men Vila.
Yeah.
Well, are there ever male Vila? Or are they always?
No,
just...
I don't think so.
Yeah. So they must only like reproduce by, you know, pairing up with humans.
I guess.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay. All right. So
not a Vila character study, and I think the gods for that.
I am also thanking the gods for that. That's
okay.
We don't need to do a Vila character study now or ever, to be honest.
No, I think we've done it now and it's over now.
Well, we'll probably do a Fleur character study at some point, so we'll probably go into that more then.
We'll talk about her grandmother. Yeah. Okay, so Ginny, we see that she's been part of this recap of the match. They're all getting back to their campsite and they all are just having a cup of cocoa and chatting enjoyably about the match. And then it was only when Ginny fell asleep right at the tiny table and spilled hot chocolate all over the floor that Mr. Weasley called a halt to the verbal replays and insisted that everyone go to bed.
Oh, Ginny, just the little kid who can't stay awake.
Yeah, this is probably the time that I relate to Ginny most, I would say.
Yeah, well, you would also kind of be overdramatic faking the falling asleep thing.
I don't fake it. You know, when my eyes start to shut, there's no stopping them.
When your eyes start to shut, sometimes you also kind of put on a show with it.
No, I do not. I my eyelids get so heavy, and it's like there's just no turning back time at that point. And
one of my favorite photos I ever took was of a moment in time where this happened.
Okay, well, we don't have to go into that right now, but I just get very sleepy sometimes.
Yes, we know.
Every evening
about 7 p.m.
yep, right about now, actually. So we better get to the end of this character study soon.
Well, there's a lot to cover left.
We've got so much left to talk about. First of all, Ginny is with Fred and George during these Muggle attacks, and spend a lot of time talking about it because we get a lot of pages of content of describing what's going on with them during it.
Wow, yeah, that there's a lot to go over. What do you think that they did?
I don't know. It says first that Fred grabs Ginny's hand and starts to pull her toward the wood. And then 20 pages later, it says that they appear unhurt but shaken.
So we'll never know what they saw in that wood.
Right, exactly. So that's it.
Nice to see that Fred and George looked out for Ginny, I guess. Ron didn't seem too pressed about it.
Well, no, they lost each other in the dark. Like, it started off as Fred, George, Ginny, Ron, Harry, and Hermione, and then the three of them, the two trios got separated from each other.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I'm glad that Ginny wasn't by herself.
Yeah, and that would have been, I think Mrs. Weasley probably would have killed all of her sons if that had happened.
Well, she's just a baby.
Yeah, she's a tiny baby.
She's just a baby.
She's like, I'm just a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we don't see Ginny for quite a while now. We're going to see her finally back at Hogwarts around the Yule Ball time preparing for the Yule Ball, and that means that Ron and Harry have to find girls that are interested in going with them to the Yule Ball. So we see Ginny because she's sitting there. She is patting Ron's arm, and she's trying to be sympathetic, even though she's fighting back a smile. She explains to Harry that Ron just asked Fleur to go to the ball with him.
Yeah, it's nice that Ginny, honestly, like, she does have a lot of tact. That's something we've talked about before, I think. But I just think, like, she's been through a lot at her age, and she knows how to be, like, empathetic and just to say the right thing. But she still can see, like, she's obviously still a bit amused by what just happened with Ron, but she's handling it in a tactful way.
Right. It's nice that she's trying to comfort him. Then Harry decides to tell Ron that he just tried asking or that he just tried to ask Cho to the ball, and he says this dully, "I asked her to go with me just now, and she told me about how she's going with Diggory." And then Ginny stops smiling at that. And then Ron starts recounting the fact that Neville tried to ask Hermione to the ball, and then he thinks that she lied and told him that she was already going with someone, and then Ginny gets annoyed with Ron for making fun of Neville.
Right, which, again, like, Ginny is a much nicer person than Ron is. Like,
right. Now, I don't know if she's stopping him there because she's embarrassed that she said yes to Neville, or if she's actually being very sensitive to Neville.
Like, I think that she feels bad for Neville, and I think, you know, not that that's necessarily always a great thing to, like, have pity on someone, but I think that she feels bad for Neville in general, and so she wouldn't feel... like, she wouldn't ever laugh at him or make fun of him. So she doesn't like that. But then, and I think that's also partly why she said yes to him, is because yeah. she feels bad for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's both here. Yeah, so then Ginny tells Hermione that they've both been turned down for dates to the Yule Ball. And then we have this moment where Ron tries to ask Hermione to go to the ball with him. And she says she's going with someone. And Ron says, "You just said that to get out of going with Neville." And then she storms off, and Ginny knows that Hermione's not lying, but she won't tell because it's Hermione's business.
Right. Very loyal. Definitely appreciate that about Ginny.
Yeah, agreed. And it is interesting because this kind of implies that she and Hermione are kind of forming a relationship behind the scenes more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. So then Ron's extremely put out, and he's like, "This is getting stupid. Ginny, you could go with Harry." And then Ginny's like, "No, I can't. I'm going with Neville."
Yeah. And I think at this point, Ginny is kicking herself a little bit. I think she's – I don't think she regrets saying yes to Neville. Like, I think she sees it as a pragmatic thing. Like, she wants to go to the Yule Ball. She feels bad for Neville. So she might as well just go with him. That's kind of a win-win for the two of them. But I think she does – is a little bit disappointed to hear that she came that close to going with Harry.
Right. She would have been able to go with Harry had she not said yes to the first person who asked her.
Right.
Yeah, she says – it says that she looked extremely miserable here, which I do think is probably – she's kicking herself for not being able to go with Harry.
Yeah, because she's still, like – even though she's acting more normal around Harry, we know from behind the scenes that, like, she's trying to move on. She's trying to, you know, date around and stuff, but – you know, she still does like Harry.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, then we see her at the Yule Ball. This is going to be actually our penultimate scene that we see her in. It's a very brief mention. All we see is that Ginny's wincing frequently as Neville trods on her feet. And so that's different than how we see it in the movie.
Yeah, that sounds about right as far as what I can imagine. Being in Ginny's shoes seems like something that would happen to me. But... also, yeah, I like this better than what we see in the movie where they're, I don't know, it's just weird in the movie.
Right. No kidding. Yeah, so then we just get no Ginny content for almost 200 pages. Harry's so focused on all the different tasks ahead, including the unexpected, well, no, we already had the unexpected task. But yeah, we have a moment before the third task when Bill and Mrs. Weasley are visiting. They're there as Harry's family members, and Fred, George, and Ginny all come and sit down and eat dinner with all of them together. And it says Harry was having such a good time. He felt almost as though he were back at the Burrow and he'd forgotten to worry about that evening's task.
Yeah. And happily enough, he's going to be able to become a member of the family thanks to Ginny. So this is foreshadowing that.
True, true. And sorry, this was for lunch, not dinner. That was a big mistake on my part.
Wow. That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Huge.
But yeah, so it is nice to see how much Harry loves being with the Weasley family, Ginny included. And I do feel like we've seen Ginny come out of her shell a lot more at this point. Obviously, we'll see it even more so next book.
Yeah, for sure. I think next book is going to be a lot of fun to talk about Ginny and just how she, like you said, comes out of her shell and has her breakout book.
Yeah, so... that'll be next week's character study, talking about Ginny in the fifth book. But while we're here, of course, we do need to rate Ginny's heart, humor, uniqueness, and depth in the third and fourth books. Last book we gave, or last character study, we gave her 4 for heart, 2 for humor, 4 for uniqueness, and 2 for depth. I'm not sure. Are we changing that at all?
Honestly, I don't really feel like a lot has changed.
Yeah, the only thing is maybe humor. It could be three instead of two just because she's pretty humorless in the first two books.
Yeah, I guess, but it's not like she's really doing a lot of funny things in this book either.
I mean, I think she's laughing a lot more. Like, she has a sense of humor.
She's having quite a few laughs, but yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. She's definitely, like, we're seeing that she is
she has a good sense of humor herself.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, we can wait if we want to change it. I just feel, three might be a little too high, so I understand.
I feel like she should have been at a one last book, but...
Yeah, I'm not really sure why we got she got two, but...
I bet if we rolled the tape, we'd be able to hear what our reasoning was, but I don't remember what we said at all.
I think it's okay. For now, we'll just keep it at the same, and then next book, I'm sure we'll see an increase in her score. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this character study. Of course, we'll be back next week to talk about Ginny in the fifth book. But before you get too ahead of ourselves here, don't worry. You can always keep in contact with us for the next 7 days between now and next week's character study by following us on all of our social media. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/realweirdsisters, Twitter at realweirdsister, Instagram at realweirdsisterspod, and shout out to patron Melissa for being the only person to point out, I don't know if anybody else noticed, that our post on Instagram actually has the wrong number for our first Ginny character study. So you'll see on our Instagram there are two Ginny part twos. One of them is supposed to be Ginny part one from last week. So thank you,
Melissa. Another zero then, Potter.
Another zero for us. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wish you could edit an Instagram post like photo, but obviously you can't. So that's just there forever unless I deleted it. I would lose those 22 likes that it got. So that I can't do.
Yeah. Nothing gets those back.
Exactly. So yeah, speaking of patrons, patreon.com/realweirdsisters if you are interested in becoming a patron, or if you're just interested in seeing previews of all the over 60 patron casts that we've done over the last 5 years, you can see the first three words of each post, I think, and maybe that'll be enough to tickle your interest, and you might want to start becoming a patron so you can gain access to all those extra shows.
Well said.
Might tickle your fancy.
Just might.
Yeah, and speaking of websites, if you like websites, another one you can hit up is realweirdsisters.com.
For all those website lovers out there.
Right. realweirdsisters.com. Of course, the best website is patreon.com/realweirdsisters, but for all our website heads, there's also realweirdsisters.com.
Well, in the realweirdsisters.com, you can see all the list of the upcoming weirdos. So I was looking at it today, personally, and just kind of seeing, like, who's coming up. And
so you're a fellow website head, huh?
I love a website, you know, so I enjoy looking over a good old-fashioned website.
I love websites. They're just so cool.
They are.
Okay, speaking of websites,
so
another
much to
website
do
theme.
On them.
I know, and so much to learn on the World Wide Web. speaking of websites, another one that you could go to is iTunes. That's kind of more of an app, but it's also
for all those app heads out there.
For all those app heads, Apple Podcasts, or whatever podcast app you use, give us a 5-star review, rating and review, please. And if we like what we read, we might just read it on our show. And if we see it, we might just read it on our show. Come on. It's time to start writing those reviews, please. I would love it if you would write us a review. Okay.
So again, please write us a review if you didn't catch that.
Please, again, if you didn't catch that, go ahead. Write us a review. Okay. We haven't gotten a review in over a month, so just saying.
We haven't? I thought we had gotten some.
Well, 3 weeks ago. So.
Okay. I like how 3 weeks ago is suddenly over a month.
Well, it's more like 4 weeks.
All right. Well,
3.5.
Okay. Well, again, not over a month, but yeah.
Soon it will be
over a month if this keeps up.
4 weeks is over a month when we're talking about February.
4 weeks is a month if we're talking about February.
True. Okay. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Our next character study will be about Ginny in book 5. And until then, we're the Real Weird Sisters.
We're the Weird Sisters, we're the real weird sisters. All you other weird sisters are fine, but not the Vickers. Will the real weird sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up.